My Hero by Milady Dragon, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Clint, can I speak to you, please? Clint turned from where he was playing Mario Kart with Thor, looking at Pepper Potts in confusion. Sure, he said, putting his controller down and standing. The last 5 months living in Avengers Tower had been, well, the only word Clint could come up with was surreal. In the beginning, he hadn't felt all that welcome, since Cap had simply used him to pilot the Quinjet into the middle of the battle. Clint had seen it as a way to make amends, and then he'd go back to S.H.I.E.L.D. and face whatever punishment Fury had deemed was needed after his helping Loki to attack the helicarrier. That hadn't happened. The other Avengers had accepted him readily, not even blaming him for what had happened before Natasha had broken him out of Loki's spell. Stark had set him up with quarters in what would become known as Avengers Tower. He'd participated in all sorts of events in order to make the Avengers a public team of actual goddamn superheroes, and Fury had only come knocking once to tell him and Natasha that they'd been officially seconded to the Avengers and were no longer S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. That last had been a bit of a blow, but Clint had come to accept that he'd moved onward, and had eventually integrated into the mess of neuroses and PTSD that was the super team Fury was betting the fate of the world on. Of course, it had been made perfectly clear that Stark Industries, and therefore Pepper Potts, was funding the team, so when she asked to talk to him, Clint figured it was like taking an order from his boss's boss, the boss being Cap. She was standing at the entrance to the common area, where it was just him and Thor at the moment. Stark and Banner were down in the labs, breaking the laws of science, while Natasha was out showing Cap some sort of cultural thing that she thought he'd like. He patted Thor on the shoulder as he left to go with Pepper, his friend, and whoever had believed he'd be friends with the brother of the person who'd brainwashed him and made him into his personal meat puppet, smiled up at him and kept right on playing. Ms. Potts, he greeted her as he stepped up next to her. The CEO of Stark Enterprises looked cool and elegant in her business wear, with a folder in one hand and a smile on her face. Clint, she chided lightly, how many times do I have to ask you to call me Pepper? He returned her smile. At least once more, I guess. She was ostensibly in charge of everything around here, and the last boss he'd had would have killed him and lost his body if he'd ever tried to call him Nick. What can I do for you? I have a favor to ask. Well, that doesn't sound ominous, he joked. She gave him a little fond head shake. I know how you feel about things like autographs and such, but there's a man down in the lobby asking if he could get something signed for his daughter for her birthday. Clint blinked. How the hell did he get past security? SI's head of security, Happy Hogan, had put so many measures into place, with the help of Jarvis, to keep strangers from just strolling into the tower and doing just that sort of thing. There was too much wrong that could happen with that shit, Hogan had explained, and the very last thing any of them wanted was a crazy stalker or someone wanting to assassinate one of them, or worse, wanting to get rid of the Avengers in order to clear the way for another alien invasion and doing it in the guise of a fan. The man is apparently a colonel with the Army Rangers, she explained. His security level is so high he was able to get past both security and Jarvis. Colonel Coulson is a former member of the United States Army Chief of Staff's office, Jarvis explained. According to his records, he was able to keep that clearance when he retired. That was kind of impressive. And so security just let him walk up to the reception desk and ask for me? Clint wasn't quite as surprised anymore, but still, security was supposed to stop that sort of thing, even if the asker was important. Apparently, Pepper said dryly, one of our people served with the man and vouched for him with Happy. And I ran a background check, Jarvis added. Colonel Philip James Coulson, 75th Regiment, has a long and distinguished career with the U.S. Army Rangers. I can list his awards and medals if you wish. No, Clint waved a hand, that's not necessary. Jarvis sounded impressed. It took a lot to impress him. I was going to ask if you wouldn't mind doing this, Pepper said. As I said, I know you dislike that sort of thing. Which was true. While Clint had participated in such things as press conferences and did things like visit children's wards and all that jazz, he just didn't feel worthy enough for a lot of that other stuff. The journalists called him the elusive Avenger since he never really gave interviews and was usually content to let others answer questions and shit like that. And he never signed autographs unless it was for a damned good cause, because it made him fucking uncomfortable. What makes this so different? If she was asking him this, there had to be a reason. Pepper usually respected his need to keep to the side. She looked him straight in the eye. "Because you saved his daughter from the Chitauri, and you're her hero." He wanted to argue that he wasn't anyone's hero, but he stopped himself. He didn't want to have that conversation again. He'd had it enough times. It wasn't his fault that no one was listening. "According to what I've been able to find," Jarvis said, "Colonel Coulson saved the child who is now his daughter when the Chitauri attacked. The girl, then named Catherine Elizabeth Bishop, lost both of her parents in the attack and attached herself to the colonel afterward. Unwilling to let her go into Child Protective Services, he adopted her." Damn. It took a special sort of person to adopt a child in order to keep her out of the system. Clint had been in it, after all, and had never been adopted, although he figured he could partially blame that on his asshole older brother. Clint then immediately felt guilty. He'd helped Loki set up the actual attack, so he'd been at least partially responsible for that little girl becoming an orphan. How could he be anyone's hero after that? "No, Clint," Pepper put a hand on his arm, "you are not the one who brought the Chitauri here. Loki did. You saved young Kate when the Chitauri targeted her. From what Colonel Coulson said, she actually saw you do it, then watched you jump off a building while firing a grapple arrow and managing to swing to safety. According to her father, she's taken up archery and wants to be a hero like you someday." Clint snorted. He could think of others better to take after than him, like Natasha. What little girl didn't want to be the Black Widow? Pepper smacked his arm lightly. "You are so a hero, Clint Barton. Stop that." He'd gotten tired of arguing that, so he'd stopped and let them think what they would. Still, this was a little kid, someone who'd lost her folks yet found another family. How would Clint himself have turned out if that had been him? Despite his pretender syndrome and need to stay in the background, Clint began to consider Pepper's request. "I'm not going to be photographed or anything when I do this, am I?" He'd spent so many years being overwatch and out of sight that he still got the proverbial hives whenever something like that was mentioned. She beamed at him. "Not at all. The colonel is down in the lobby coffee shop, and it will be just the two of you. No publicity, and you don't have to stay down there too long. I would never have asked you just to trick you into something you didn't want to do." She squeezed his arm. "Besides, I doubt I could get you within 50 feet of a reporter." She was correct about that. Clint finally gave in. "Okay, I'll do it, but only because it's private and I don't have to pose or anything." "Thank you." Pepper looked quite happy. She held out the folder she'd been carrying. "There are some publicity stills in here, ones that weren't used in the little bit of press you've done. You can use any of these." Considering he'd been in front of a camera only a couple of times, there couldn't have been that many. He accepted the folder as well as the pen she gave him. "All right, but if I'm not back up here in 15 minutes, you have permission to come and rescue me." "Agreed," she said. "Now go and get this over with." Clint hastened to obey. He took the elevator down to the first floor, stepping out into the minimal foot traffic as employees came and went. While the Avengers did live in the tower, the majority of the people there actually worked in the offices and labs, which Clint wasn't so sure was so smart. But then, Avengers Tower was the most secure place he knew, and the employees were often drilled in emergency measures, so the chances are that the danger would be small. Still, it seemed like asking for trouble having all these civilians around, especially since Loki had targeted the tower itself in his bid to take over the world. The coffee shop was toward the front of the building, so Clint made his way there, giving a nod toward the man on the reception desk as he passed. He looked a little surprised to see Clint, but he covered it up with a smile of greeting. Clint knew immediately who his quarry was the moment he stepped foot into the shop. The man was a little older than Clint and was dressed in a pristine-looking uniform, deep blue, with the beret that went along with it placed on the table next to his cup of coffee. He was sitting with his profile toward the door. He had a strong jaw, and his nose looked like it had taken some damage at some point in his life. His chest was broad and his shoulders straight as he sat there, waiting for Clint to either arrive or to blow him off. There was a briefcase at his feet, a plain black leather thing that looked somewhat official, but then he'd been in the Army Chief of Staff's office after all. The moment the archer entered, the soldier was turning to regard him. The blue of the uniform brought out the blue of his eyes, which were kind, even as they widened a little in surprise and in recognition. He stood in greeting, and Clint noticed his shoulders were also quite nice. His brown hair was cut in a military buzz, but it was apparent that it was thinning at the front. He was undeniably handsome, and he thought for a fleeting second that Pepper had managed to set him up with a man that was managing to push several of his buttons. He had to dismiss it, because Pepper didn't know that Clint had a type, and the rumor was he was sleeping with Natasha, which was true for a given form of sleeping with. They both had nightmares, and sharing a bed helped with that. Clint was suddenly aware that he was dressed down in jeans and a t-shirt and felt a little self-conscious. "Mr. Barton," the man greeted him, his voice a warm baritone. He held out a hand. "Thank you for agreeing to this. I wasn't sure you would." Being polite, Clint shook that hand. The grasp was strong without any of the male posturing horseshit, with obvious gun calluses, so he wasn't a desk jockey. "I don't usually do this sort of thing." "I know," the man smiled, a small yet genuine expression. "I'm Phil Coulson, and you are about to make my little girl very happy." "Interesting." There he was, standing in his uniform with all its awards and bars and stuff, and he wasn't using his rank. It confirmed to Clint that this man cared more about his daughter than his own career, and he approved of that. "I brought a couple of images for you to choose from." "Thanks again," Colonel Coulson gestured toward one of the chairs at his table. "Kate is going to be so excited. I won't lie, this is going to make me her favorite person. Next to you, of course. Can I get you a cup of coffee?" "Not one to turn down coffee," Clint agreed. "They'll know how I take it." Stark had made it a point to have everyone's preferences made known to the coffee shop staff, not that Clint spent a lot of time down there. He set the folder down on the tabletop while the colonel fetched the coffee. He was beginning to feel a little more at ease, although he couldn't tell exactly why that was. Perhaps it was the man's genuine sincerity, or maybe it was because he wasn't gushing or anything like that. Colonel Coulson was being pretty matter-of-fact about it, wanting nothing more than to make his new daughter happy, and Clint really did respect that. "Here you are." Colonel Coulson set the coffee down next to Clint, then took his own seat once more. Normally, the archer would have been wary about accepting anything from a complete stranger, but this had been made for him by the staff here, and he hadn't done anything to piss them off. And even if this person had managed to sneak something into it, it would have been caught by all sorts of security around the place. So Clint took a sip and promptly burnt his tongue. "Coffee, no," he managed to mumble while waving his hand over his stinging tongue. Coulson looked amused, but he didn't say anything about Clint's idiocy. Instead, he slid the folder over in front of him and, opening it, began to peruse the photos it held. To Clint's surprise, there were 8. Looking over Coulson's shoulder, he could see why some of them weren't used, but others were pretty decent. He watched as Coulson set 6 aside, leaving 2 out. The first was of Clint standing sideways to the camera, bow up and drawn, arrow pointing right towards whoever had been taking the picture. The second, he was in a squatted position, one leg bent and the other outstretched. Bow once again drawn, but the arrow was aimed toward the floor. "I understand you just adopted your daughter," he said, breaking what had been a surprisingly comfortable silence. Coulson nodded. "She lost her parents in the Chitauri attack. I got her out of the building and she decided she didn't want to leave me, so I adopted her." His face was a combination of fond and sad. "I would have done anything to have kept her from that. although it did bring her into my life. I'd do pretty much anything to make her happy. His expression turned wry. And that includes barging into Avengers Tower on the faint hope of getting an autograph from you. I'm glad she has you. He was. A child didn't deserve to be an orphan like that, and he still couldn't help but feel guilty about it. Still, Pepper's words stayed with him, pile on top of other words that his friends had told him over the months. He wasn't quite ready to believe them yet, but he felt he was on his way. I'm an orphan too, and I know what it's like to be alone. He had no idea why he'd just admitted that. It wasn't something he usually did, giving out personal information about himself, but there was just something so endearing and trustworthy about the man he was seated next to. I'm glad I have her, too. He gave the archer a look the archer couldn't quite identify. And I'm sorry you had to go through that yourself. I guess I'm lucky in that my parents died when I was older, so I had more time with them. Did you find a good home? No. Clint carefully considered his words, something that Natasha swore he never did, but she was wrong, and finally replied, My brother and I were in an orphanage, which we eventually ran away from. I grew up in a circus. Well, his companion said, after a single blink that conveyed his surprise at the answer, it must have done something good for you, since you ended up here. Clint wanted to argue that. He wanted to spill everything that was bad about Carson's, and the years he'd spent as a mercenary before finding his way to S.H.I.E.L.D. And yet, the colonel was right. There had been good things about the circus, good people who'd cared about him, and had given him the morals and courage he had today. Sure, there had been Barney and Trickshot, but balancing them out had been the fortune teller, Lady Esme, who taught him how to read and write, as well as the swordsman who'd shown him how to use all sorts of blades and how to fight dirty when he needed to, as well as Old Man Carson, who'd given a pair of underage orphans a place even though he could have very well gotten into trouble if they'd been discovered. How old is your Kate? He asked instead of sharing all of that. Coulson smiled sweetly. She'll be 10 next Thursday, but we'll be celebrating with a party on Saturday. That's why I'm here, hoping to get an autograph for her as a birthday present. You're her hero, you know. Clint didn't think of himself as a hero and said so before he could censor himself. Okay, so maybe Natasha had a point about his speaking before thinking. Those kind blue eyes regarded him. There are 5 basic motivations for people to do what they do. The first is for the recognition and glory. The second is out of a sense of duty because it needs to be done. The third is because they need to atone for something. And the fourth is to get revenge. Then there's the fifth, because it's the right thing to do. Now, I'm not certain where you fall into these, but I'm damn sure it's not the first. The other 4, people will consider you a hero for their own reasons. Then he smiled once more. Besides, you saved my daughter. You're a hero to her because of that. Clint was distinctly embarrassed. He wasn't hero material, no matter what Coulson said. Still, there was no way he was going to break a little kid's heart by denying her what she needed. Besides, it was bound to wear off at some point. And she's learning archery? Coulson laughed. 2 weeks after the attack, she proclaimed that she needed to protect us and that I needed to get her a bow and arrows. The paperwork for the adoption hadn't even been submitted yet. I was still just a foster parent, and I wasn't sure that sort of thing was allowed, but I did it anyway. I set her up with lessons, which she took to like a duck to water. She's just started gymnastics since the beginning of the school year, and she's loving it. I also have a good friend who's going to teach her self-defense, which I'll help out with. Kate wants to be prepared for anything that might happen. In fact, he pulled his phone out of his pocket, unlocking it and scrolling through it. Then he held it out to Clint. On the screen was a little girl with black hair, holding a tiny bow with an arrow knocked to the string. She had her tongue poked out in concentration, standing in that near-perfect pose right before she loosed. That's my Kate. She was at practice when I took that. He looked so proud, like he'd been Kate's father from the very beginning, and not just for the last several months. God, she was so adorable. He He had to clear his throat a little before he could speak once more, setting the phone on the table next to the colonel's elbow. "Have you decided which one?" He motioned toward the two photos Coulson had left out. The man sighed. "No, both of these would work." Before he could change his mind, Clint pulled them both over. "Then she can get both." "You don't have to." His face was full of joy. What that did to the man's face. "I know." He gave Coulson his own smile. "But let me do it anyway." He took the pen from his pocket. Thank you, Pepper, for giving him a purple one. And scribbled on the one of him standing. "To Kate. May you never miss. Clint Barton, Hawkeye." And on the second one, "Kate, aim true. Clint Barton, Hawkeye." He pushed them back over, after capping his pen with a flourish. "You can have the folder to carry them in, if you want." "Thank you, but I brought something just in case I had luck in getting your autograph." He stood and fetched the briefcase, flicking the fasteners unlocked and pulling it open. It was completely empty except for a clear folder-like thing that had an opening at the top. It would be a sturdy thing to hold a photograph in. "Please tell me, you were a Boy Scout, weren't you?" He couldn't help but laugh. "Surprisingly, no," Coulson answered, also chuckling. "I've been a memorabilia collector for years, so I just happen to have some of these lying around." Picking up one of the photos carefully, he blew on it a little to make sure the ink was dry, then slid it into the holder. He did the same for the second, inserting it back to back with the first. Then he put them back into the briefcase, locking it back up and leaving it on the tabletop. "What sort of things do you collect?" Clint was curious, because most career military didn't stay in one place too long, so he wouldn't have had a lot of room or be able to carry a lot with him whenever he got transferred from station to station. But then Pepper had said he'd retired because of Kate. He'd given up that career in favor of a traumatized little girl who needed him. That Clint couldn't quite process. "When I was a child, it was Captain America," he answered, looking just a little pink in the ears at the admission. "He was the reason I went into the military, actually. But then I got into other things, although I haven't had a lot of time lately to collect much." "If Steve was around, I'd ask him to autograph something for you." Clint wasn't sure where the offer had come from, but Steve was usually willing to do that sort of thing. "That's not necessary," Coulson told him. "I'm here for Kate, and not me. Besides, I may have already gotten one at that charity event you were all at a couple of months ago, to raise funds to help rebuild after the attack. I was hoping to get something from you there, but you were busy with the kids, and I wasn't able to." Clint remembered that. He'd been very popular with the Rugrats. Natasha had claimed it was because he had the same IQ as a child, and that was why he'd gotten along with them that well. He'd stuck his tongue out at her for that jibe. Actually, it was because he'd been in the circus and knew what entertained little kids. He'd quickly volunteered for it when he'd found out it would keep him out of autograph duty. "Mr. Barton," Colonel Coulson was looking at him intently, "I cannot thank you enough for doing this." "There's no need." An idea came to him. "Get your phone." He motioned the barista over. "Let's make you even more cooler in her eyes." Coulson's own eyes lit up. "You don't have to." "Yeah, but Kate would love it. Although I do have to ask that you don't let it get out to the press." He didn't think Coulson would, but it needed to be said. "I wouldn't do that," Coulson promised. "Although I can't promise not to show it to everyone I know, and crowing about it just a little." Clint laughed. "Down, fanboy." Okay, this man was seriously cute. They stood next to each other as the barista took their picture, then handed the phone back to the colonel. They stood there a little awkwardly for a couple of seconds, then Coulson stepped away, reaching for his briefcase. "I should go," he said apologetically. "Kate will be home from school soon, and I need to get these to a friend's house so I can get them framed before the day, so that Kate won't find them. This needs to be a complete surprise." Clint was a little disappointed that he was leaving, and he couldn't have said why. "Good luck," he said, this time offering his hand first, "and give Kate my regards." "I will." He drew himself up, his back straight, then nodded. "Take care, Mr. Barton. This city and the world needs you." With that, he was striding out of the coffee shop, a little bounce in his step, and Clint sighed as he watched him leave. Then he laughed again, realizing that Pepper hadn't come down and rescued him like he'd asked her to. He was going to have words with her about that. Or maybe not. Phil got out of his car, pulling out his briefcase with him, thinking back on the meeting with Clint Barton. He'd seen pictures of the Hawkeye before, but they hadn't been the best. Meeting the man in person had brought home just how gorgeous the man was. Not traditionally handsome, but there was life in that face, lines that told of a history, and the strong man who'd made it through to where he was now. It had him wondering a little if things had been different, they might have dated or even gotten together. No. Why would someone like Barton be interested in him, even if their places in the world weren't what they were now? He'd been a little surprised that Barton had been an orphan as well, and Phil had to think that was why he'd come down and signed for Kate, something in common, and that had led Hawkeye to do something he never had before. He'd tried to get an autograph before, and it always failed. There were some out there who were calling Hawkeye stuck up because he didn't come down with the rest of the Avengers and wallow in the attention that was thrown up at them, but Phil hadn't believed that was the reason. And from what he'd seen today, he'd been correct about that. Clint Barton was obviously a man who disliked the spotlight, didn't see that he was important enough to even be missed at these sorts of things. When he'd gone to Avengers Tower, it had been Phil's last option. He'd even put on his uniform in the vague hope that it would get him somewhere. He really hadn't thought he'd succeed, and yet he had, more than he'd thought possible. 2 autographs and a photo. Never in his wildest dreams had he even considered that would have happened. Kate was going to be so excited. The door to the neat house was open before he'd set foot on the last step. You got it. Phil grinned at Melinda May. I got 2. His best friend gave him the side eye. No way. Yes way, he said smugly. Well, get in here and let me see. Phil stepped into the house that belonged to Melinda and her husband Andrew. It was fairly clutter-free, but then they didn't have any children. Not yet, anyway. Melinda looked as if she was about to burst any day now. He'd met Melinda during a black op in Kandahar, back when she'd been in S.H.I.E.L.D. and he'd been leading a ranger team. They'd inadvertently stepped on each other's toes, meshed their teams together, and kicked major ass. It had led to a friendship that had stood the test of separation and time. Phil was one of only 3 people who knew what had occurred in Bahrain, why Melinda had left S.H.I.E.L.D. behind. He was humbled by her trust in him. Melinda waddled, although if anyone told her that, she'd most likely eviscerate them, over to her favorite chair and slid down into it, looking just a little uncomfortable. She was due in about 3 weeks and loudly proclaimed that Andrew was never touching her again without getting a vasectomy first. Andrew just rolled his eyes fondly at his wife and agreed with her. That was really the wisest thing to do. Phil put his briefcase down on the coffee table, then retrieved the top loader from inside. There you go, he crowed, handing it over to her. Melinda looked at the first side, then the other, nodding in approval. When you said you were going to try this, I didn't think it would work. Neither did I, he admitted. It was my last chance. She smiled at him. Well done. Kate is going to freak out. Oh, but that's not all. He pulled out his phone and brought up the photo that they had taken. How did you manage this? She asked in wonder, her eyes on the picture. Phil looked over her arm at it, noticing that he and Barton were of a height, and Phil wasn't looking like a starstruck idiot. I have no idea. He suggested it, not me. We'll have to print that out and get it framed as well, his best friend declared. Kate's going to want a copy. You and Andrew all right to take care of that? They'd already volunteered to frame the autograph, now too, if Phil had been able to accomplish his mission. He'd performed well above the parameters set. She nodded. Send it to my email and we'll handle it. She handed the phone back. How was he? I take it he wasn't as standoffish as the rumors say. She'd been a little surprised by those rumors, Phil could tell. Not at all. In fact, I got the distinct impression that the reason he didn't do things like photos and autographs was because he didn't see himself as important as the others. He couldn't have put his finger on any single thing that told him that, but he was pretty certain of his assumption. Melinda considered.
I'm sure Andrew could shed some light on that.
Andrew, being a therapist, was a good choice to ask, but Phil felt uncomfortable talking about someone else's mental issues. He had enough of his own to ask someone to tattle on others.
I met him a couple of times, Melinda added, when I was in S.H.I.E.L.D. He was a damned good agent, although a lot cockier than you describe him now. She smirked. He's kind of cute.
Phil wasn't about to rise to that bait. He'd spent his entire adult life in the military, hiding his bisexuality from superiors and juniors alike, knowing that if he wanted to remain, he would need to sacrifice his personal preferences. It hadn't been easy, but he'd done it. Though now, he was free from their strict rules, even though technically DADT was repealed last year, and he would have been able to admit his likes and dislikes. Perhaps he should start indulging. But he wasn't about to admit to Melinda that he, too, had found Hawkeye cute.
I'll get you this as soon as I get home, he promised, taking the phone back. Let me know what I owe you for the framing when you get it done.
Melinda and Andrew had agreed to take care of it so that Kate wouldn't get any sort of inkling that something was up.
We will.
They'd discussed it before Phil had come up with his plan to get Kate Hawkeye's autograph, and at first they'd insisted on being part of her gift. Phil had demurred, saying they should get her something from themselves that she could open. Andrew had been the first to see the reasoning behind it, and he'd managed to convince Melinda of it.
I should be getting home. Kate will be back from school in about an hour, and I want to be there when she gets home.
Phil had been perfectly fine with retiring after accepting Kate into his life. He'd always considered himself a lifetimer in the Army, but then he'd come to realize that there were more important things than that, like a little girl who needed him. His old boss, the Army Chief of Staff, had wanted to keep him on in a reduced capacity, and Phil would have been fine with that if it hadn't entailed moving from New York to Washington, D.C. He wasn't about to uproot Kate from the school she'd always known, not when she'd lost too much already. So he was currently at loose ends, but he figured he had a little time before he had to go and hunt up a new job somewhere. He wanted to make sure Kate was going to be all right first, and if he had to use up the tidy nest egg he'd been saving for himself, so be it. She would always be the most important thing in his life. He just hadn't realized that until she'd clung to him after the invasion, unwilling to even let go long enough for emergency services to check them both over. They'd both been inside the building when it had been damaged, after all. Phil to visit a friend, and of course Kate had lived there. It had been a surprise to learn that Kate's parents had owned the building, but her father had been in so deep in debt it had gone into receivership even before the reconstruction had begun. He was pretty certain Kate wouldn't have cared to lose it, not after everything that had happened there. It had sold pretty quickly, from what Phil had heard, but Kate hadn't seen a single cent of what it had gone for. Not that she'd actually miss it, really. At her age, money was still a pretty abstract issue, and Phil was perfectly capable of taking care of them both.
Andrew and I will be over early Saturday, Melinda replied.
He thanked her. He was going to need all the help she and Andrew could give since he was going to have a house full of 9- and 10-year-olds. And he already felt frazzled, even though the day hadn't even arrived yet. He had absolutely no experience with that many children. They couldn't be any worse than a bunch of raw recruits, could they?
I've ordered the cake, he told her, and I should have time to pick it up during Kate's archery lesson.
Let us know if that falls through, Melinda said.
I will, he promised her.
They exchanged a couple more pleasantries, then Phil left to head home to wait for Kate to get there. And if there was a tiny part of him thinking about how good Hawkeye looked, then no one needed to know that but himself. After all, he was quite good at hiding that sort of thing. 25 years in the military had trained him well.
Over the next week, Clint found himself thinking about Colonel Coulson and his little girl. He couldn't help it. It was a great story. How the man had given up his career for that kid just because she had no one else. The act was truly something marvelous, and Clint found himself wishing he could get to know them both a little better. He also considered just how handsome the man had been. Maybe in another life they could have met and become friends, or more. However, he'd spent most of his life in the military, and even if he thought of men the way Clint did, would he even do anything about it? Remaining closeted for so long, willing to remain in the army, when it was inherently prejudiced against gays and other sexualities, Clint just couldn't understand it. At least S.H.I.E.L.D. hadn't had that shit to deal with. Fury would have had anyone's balls if they tried to harass anyone who wasn't exactly straight. He spent a lot of time in his room just thinking about it. A part of him wished he'd met a family like that when he'd been in the system. He couldn't even think about how different he would have turned out if he'd had someone to care for him enough to give up something like their job to keep him. Those sorts of people were very few and far between, which meant that Coulson had to be a special sort of person indeed. Clint found himself wanting to get to know him better, to see Kate practice her shooting, and those thoughts just weren't healthy. He wanted to talk to Natasha. She'd convince him to let it lay, to not get involved, but Natasha had decided to take a mission for Fury, one that needed her particular skill set, and she'd gone happily, bored at sitting around and doing nothing except showing Steve the newest exhibit at the MoMA or whatever movie was playing. As much as she liked having him as an escort, the Black Widow needed to kick ass sometimes. And he didn't feel comfortable talking to any of the others. Sure, Banner might listen, but the others? He still wasn't sure how they would react to him talking about another man in an almost romantic way, because that was how he was thinking about Colonel Coulson, and he needed someone to talk him out of it. And so he went to the person who started all this shit in the first place. Clint hadn't spent any time at all in the executive areas of Avengers Tower, where Pepper Potts had her office and ran her company with an iron fist. Honestly, the best thing Stark had done was give SI to her, because from what he'd heard, Pepper had improved profits immensely in the first 2 months she'd been in charge, and the board was singing raptures over her when they weren't bitching about some of her more progressive policies. Her office was large and glass and impressive. Clint found himself feeling slightly shabby in comparison to the PA who was sitting at the massive desk just outside the office. He could see Pepper inside talking on the phone. She suddenly glanced up, gave him a smile, and waved him in. The PA looked a little put out, but pressed whatever button there was to open the door. "No," Pepper was saying into the phone. "If you want to renegotiate your contract with Stark Industries, you will need to write up the proposal and then submit it to your negotiations department. They will look into it and then get back with you on terms." "No, that is the way things are done. And harassing the CEO isn't the way to get what you want." "Yes. Thank you, Mr. Stokes. It's been a pleasure. Have a good day." She hung up, sighing. "You have just saved me from yelling at someone." She smiled up at him. "Please sit down." "If I'm interrupting anything." Clint hadn't thought that she might have been too busy to see him. "Not at all," she assured him. "Now what can I do for you?" At that, Clint stalled. With Natasha, it was so easy to talk to spill his guts and get it all out in the open. Pepper, though, he really didn't know her all that well, only that she was pretty much his boss, and she was sitting there at her fancy desk, looking at Clint attentively, as if she was his friend and was willing to listen to whatever problem he had. "Did you know I was an orphan?" he found himself asking. Pepper frowned a little, then looked at him sympathetically. "No, I didn't. I'll be honest, I tried to run the standard SI background checks on both you and Natasha, but all of your information is classified." "Yeah, that's not surprising. Every agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. had their backgrounds redacted out the ass. I was 8 when it happened. Dad got drunk and ran the car into a tree, killing both him and Mom." He took a deep breath. "And I'm finding myself thinking about little Kate Coulson. How lucky she got, because she found someone willing to give up his entire life in order to take care of her." "Oh, Clint." She looked a little distraught. "I asked you to sign something for her. It's my fault." "No, it's not that," he quickly denied. "Sure, my life growing up was pretty much a big bag of suck with some good times thrown in, and I can't stop thinking about how different everything might have been if I'd had decent foster parents, but damn it, he ran his hands through his hair, I'm happy for her. Sure, how she was orphaned. Well, I know it's not really my fault, but I'll always feel a little guilty for it, knowing, though, that she's going to be fine. Pepper was up and out of her chair, coming around the desk to lean against the front, reaching out for his hands. Clint, not used to that sort of thing, let her take them. You're happy for her?
Absolutely.
And there's this part of me that wants to watch her grow up, to see what a wonderful young woman she's going to be. But I know that's not possible.
She shrugged.
Are you sure about that?
Pepper.
I can't just insinuate myself into her family like that. The smile he received was almost blinding. You finally called me Pepper.
Well, he said sheepishly, you wore me down.
Pepper laughed. Clint, I get the feeling it's not just little Kate Coulson you're thinking about.
He may as well go all in.
Yeah, well, her dad is just my type. However, he's been in the military for decades. Even if he was interested in men, he would have had to keep that buried, and that sort of thing isn't easily put aside after so long.
True, but it doesn't mean you can't be his friend. You can't tell me that you couldn't use more of those.
He supposed she had a point. Colonel Coulson was definitely someone he wouldn't mind getting to know better, and being his friend, Clint didn't really have a lot of them that weren't Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D., and Pepper, because he figured she was one as well. Then he suddenly realized it was Saturday, the day they were going to celebrate Kate's birthday. Should I start today? I mean, today is the day they were going to have Kate's birthday party. I can't think of a better surprise than her favorite superhero coming to her party, she pointed out. And it's not like we can't get their address. That's just a tad bit stalkery, isn't it? He didn't mention a thing about the superhero part. Clint was just someone with a high skill set, not like everyone else on the team.
Maybe, Pepper allowed. But Colonel Coulson would have assumed we'd have run some sort of check on him when he showed up here.
She rubbed her fingers across his knuckles. And I seriously doubt he'd be upset if you showed up for his daughter's birthday. She might have had two pretty valid points.
Clint, I know we really haven't gotten to know each other, and I like to think we're on the way to becoming friends, but if I can, I'd like to give you a little advice.
She seemed a little hesitant, and Clint felt bad for that. It was his fault that they really hadn't talked. But then he had his issues with the whole superhero gig that didn't bear repeating. You run one of the largest corporations in the world, he teased, wanting to put her at ease. I'd think your advice would be pretty damned good.
That had her laughing.
Mission accomplished. I can do a lot of things in the corporate realm, she said, but sometimes people don't like it when you get personal. He gave her a smile. Look, Natasha tells me what for all the time. I'm used to it. I'm pretty sure you're a lot more polite and won't take me to the mats if you don't get your way. Natasha was pretty much the boss of him, and he wasn't afraid to admit it.
Does she actually do that?
Pepper sounded vaguely appalled.
Only out of love, Clint assured her.
Please, Pepper, you can tell me whatever you want. I can't promise that I'll take the advice, but I'll listen.
That's fair.
She squeezed his hands, then let go. Clint found himself missing her grasp, which was a surprise.
Honestly, I think you should just go for it. What's the worst thing he could do?
Beat the shit out of me? It wouldn't have been the first time that had happened. She cocked her head. I may have only met him for a few seconds when he stopped in, but even I could tell he wouldn't do that.
You didn't tell me you'd met him, Clint replied.
I thought I had. Anyway, while I'm quite certain he is a formidable soldier, I got the distinct impression that he's a kind man under that rather impressive uniform. He had the kindest eyes I've ever seen.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
He stood. I think I'll see if they'd like another guest at that party.
She beamed at him.
You do that, and I'll expect a full report tonight. He put a hand on his chest in mock horror.
I would never kiss and tell.
With that, she shooed him out of her office, but not before giving him a quick hug that Clint didn't quite know what to do with, so he returned it awkwardly. Now that he'd made up his mind, Clint figured he'd probably better get cleaned up, so he headed back to his quarters, a spring in his step, and feeling lighter than he had in days. No matter how this turned out, he was going to buy her a nice bunch of flowers as a thank you. Phil was tired, but the party had been a success, and he was never going to compare a bunch of rowdy and hopped up on sugar children to recruits again, because at least the recruits had at least a little discipline. Even with 10 adults in the house, those kids had been completely out of control, and yet it had been fun. Kate had thoroughly enjoyed herself. While she hadn't actually come out and said it, Phil had gotten the impression that this was something that her parents hadn't really done for her before, and it made him just a little angry at them. Every child deserved to have at least one birthday party where she could have friends over and it could get as insane as possible with games and cake and presents. He made a vow that Kate was going to get parties for her birthday for as long as she wanted them. And the autographs. Kate had made noises that Phil swore only dogs could hear when she'd seen them. He'd actually given them to her on the night of her genuine birthday, knowing that it was just him and her, and she'd hugged him and cried, and for the first time since he'd adopted her, she'd called him Daddy. Phil wasn't ashamed to admit that he'd cried a little, too. The photo was also a hit. Kate had demanded that it be hung up on her wall immediately after she'd received it, and Phil had obliged. It had pride of place next to the picture of the two of them that Melinda had taken, holding up the adoption certificate that they'd been given when it had become official, both of them smiling happily into the camera. It wasn't the first photograph that had been taken of them together, but it was the most special. Phil took a look around the wreckage of his usually tidy living room and sighed. It was a good thing he'd gotten plenty of trash bags in preparation. Melinda was sitting in one of the armchairs, her shoes off, and her hand on her belly, slouching as far down as she could. "Remind me of this carnage when it's time for our spawn to have a party, so I can rent a place that will clean up after we're done." Andrew chuckled. "Yes, dear." He was stacking used party plates up for easier collection, as well as the plasticware that Kate had insisted be purple. "You didn't like the party, Auntie Melinda," Kate pouted. That was new as well. And it did what it always did. It made Melinda smile, a happy thing that had been lacking after Bahrain. "I liked it, honey," she answered. "I'm just tired, that's all." Kate nodded with all the solemnity that a 10-year-old could muster. "You can take a nap if you want to. I'm sure Daddy and Uncle Andrew wouldn't mind." "If I did that," Melinda confided, "then there wouldn't be anyone to supervise the cleanup." Before Phil could make some sort of cutting remark as to his ability to clean anything up, there was a knock on the door. "Are you expecting anyone?" Melinda inquired. Phil frowned. "No, unless someone forgot something." He strode toward the entryway, just past the disaster that was currently his living room. The house he'd purchased for himself and Kate was just around the corner from Melinda and Andrew. He'd done that on purpose, since they were friends, and he knew both the Garners would be a good influence on Kate. And Andrew, being a counselor, had been an understanding ear when either Phil or Kate became overwhelmed, so much so that Phil had asked for a referral to someone who wasn't a family friend and who could be dispassionate when necessary. Andrew had obliged, also commenting that he'd been about to suggest that very thing if Phil hadn't brought it up, because sometimes being a friend and being a counselor were mutually exclusive. Phil opened the door, smiling at whoever was on the other side, and then his mouth dropped open in sheer surprise, because it was Hawkeye, Clint Barton, standing on his front stoop. He was dressed a little better than the first time Phil had seen him, in a purple sweater that looked very soft and had him wanting to reach out and touch. He was absolutely adorable, standing there and looking a little unsure of himself, one hand rubbing the back of his neck subconsciously, and the other holding a slim, long carrying case that Phil was willing to bet carried his own personal bow. Hi, he said. "I hope you don't mind me just dropping by like this." "Not at all," Phil exclaimed, pulling the door open and ushering him inside. "You have no idea what this will mean to Kate." "Well, I was kind of hoping it would mean something to you, too." His expression was a little shy, but he was staring at Phil right in the eyes. Damn it, he suddenly realized he could drown in those eyes. "It does," he hastened to reassure the man. "Because it did," more than he could possibly know, and not just because Kate would be so excited. He'd found himself thinking about Clint a lot over the last week since he'd met him. Phil had kept himself well and truly closeted for years, but now he was finally realizing he was free to pursue whoever he wanted, as long as they understood that Kate would always come first. He got the impression that Clint could be that person, just from the short conversation they'd had in the coffee shop at Avengers Tower. He couldn't have said what that was, but he always trusted his instincts. And now here he was, in Phil's home, his eyes taking in everything as he waited for Phil to close the door and show him inside. "Daddy, who is at the—" He turned, seeing Kate standing there, her mouth open and eyes wide, as she stared at their guest like she couldn't believe what she was seeing. To his credit, Clint knelt on the tile floor of the entryway, giving Kate a big smile. It was as if his nerves had suddenly vanished. "I understand today is your birthday."
"It is," Kate said faintly. "You missed the party, but we still have cake."
"What kind?"
"Chocolate."
"That sounds great. If I can have a piece of cake, I'll show you my bow." That got Kate out of her shock. Her eyes widened even further and she started bouncing on her toes.
"Really? I can see it?"
"Sure, I have it right here." He patted the case, which he'd set on the floor beside him. "Of course, your father has to say it's all right."
"Please, Daddy," Kate exclaimed. "I'll be real careful."
He glanced down at her indulgently. "That's fine, Kate, but let's get the cake first, okay?"
"Okay."
She nodded seriously, then held out her hand. Clint looked a little startled by that, but he took it, got to his feet, and let her drag him deeper into the house, starting to chatter away at him about archery and how she wanted to be a superhero when she grew up. Phil watched them go, his chest warm with the happiness that was bubbling up inside. Hawkeye had shown up unannounced for Kate's birthday party. He'd brought his bow, and he was humoring her questions, even as he was passing Melinda and giving her a surprised glance. But then, Melinda had said she'd met the man a couple of times before she retired, so it was most likely recognition and confusion at seeing her there. Over the next several hours, Clint Barton entertained Kate, eating cake and telling her stories that Phil was certain were heavily redacted and made child-friendly. She absorbed them like a sponge, enjoying each of them, her eyes sparkling with delight, clapping at all the best parts. Phil found himself utterly charmed by the pair of them. "I had no idea he would be that good with kids," Melinda murmured, helping out with putting the dishes in the dishwasher. "But he's got her thoroughly interested." "And it's not faked," Andrew added. "He's not pretending with her." Phil didn't think he was being disingenuous either, but it was good to have it confirmed. He dumped the last trash bag onto the back porch, where four others were sitting, waiting to be taken out to the curb. "Plus, he's kept her out of our hair as we cleaned up." Melinda rolled her eyes. "I'm not exactly certain that's the main point, but sure." Stepping back inside, Phil moved to the entrance to the dining room, where both Kate and Clint were talking animatedly. His bow was out on the table. He hadn't brought any arrows with him, which showed a thoughtfulness and caution around a child, but the moment he'd showed that it was collapsible, Kate had gone into raptures. She'd babbled on about how cool that was and asked if she could see him shoot. Clint had told her that she'd need to ask her father, which Phil appreciated. Of course he'd given her his permission. After all, Hawkeye was an expert marksman, and Melinda had commented that he never missed. Personally, Phil wanted to see how that worked. He'd met some expert snipers in his time, but something told him that Clint Barton was above and beyond even the best that the Rangers could show. After all, he was an Avenger, and he was being absolutely adorable. Phil sighed. There was no way he'd be interested in a retired Army Ranger with a little girl in tow. As he was turning back towards the kitchen, there was movement at the table. Clint was standing, picking up his bow and telling Kate, "I should be heading back home. And you look like you're coming down from your sugar high, Katie Kate." Phil's eyebrows went up. She was actually letting him call her that? Kate yawned widely, which confirmed what Clint had just said about the sugar crash.
"Do you really have to go, Clint?"
"Yep," he told her firmly. but I'll talk to your dad about coming up to the tower and watching me shoot, okay?
Kay.
She stood up too, and having must have seen Phil standing there, she moved toward him and wrapped her arms around him.
I love you, Daddy. This was the best birthday ever.
I'm glad you had a good time, sweetheart, he told her earnestly, hugging her tightly. All he'd wanted to do was make her first birthday after her parents' death something special, and he was pitifully glad that he'd succeeded, and a lot of that had to do with a surprise guest he hadn't prepared for. Why don't you get washed up and take a nap? I'll see our guest out.
I want to go to the tower soon, she told him, sounding a little whiny.
We'll do it as soon as we can. Now scoot. Get a little sleep and we'll watch movies later. He leaned down and kissed the top of her head. Kate smiled up at him, then headed up to her room, her feet dragging a little as she moved. Phil watched her fondly, his heart bursting with love for her. When he'd taken her in, he hadn't counted on feeling this way. Oh, he'd known he was drawn to her from the moment he'd found her on that landing, screaming over the body of her dead mother, and he'd had to drag her away. There had been this connection between them, and he hadn't known how to explain it. But this, it had come on over the months she had been with him. He'd awakened her from her nightmares, had soothed her when she'd been terrified that he was going to leave her like her birth parents had. He'd left the career he'd been planning on staying with until he was too old to carry on the responsibilities he'd had, the one he'd spent his own blood, sweat, and fear on in order to move forward and become what he'd had, the job he'd long set aside a piece of himself for. She's pretty amazing. The voice pulled his attention away from the little girl who'd become so important to him. He glanced toward Clint, who was smiling slightly at him, as if he was somehow seeing everything that Phil was feeling. She is, he agreed. I cannot thank you enough for coming.
Nah, no thanks needed.
He paused, the silence a little awkward. Let me put my bow away, and I'll get out of your hair. Phil wanted to say that he wasn't at all in the way, but he turned away, leaning over to pick up the case that had been discarded beside the table, giving Phil an excellent view of just how well those jeans Clint was wearing hugged his ass. After being so many years hiding, his libido certainly was starting to perk up and notice, and all it had taken was a superhero archer who sympathized with this little girl in a way Phil couldn't. The thing was, he could see beyond the sexual aspect of any relationship with this man. Phil had never really had any particular daydreams about that sort of thing, but he certainly had over the last several days. He didn't know what it was about Clint, but there was something there, something he thought he might be interested in exploring. However, he just wasn't sure any sort of overture would be welcome. He'd have to scout things out a little first and see how this thing with Kate going to the tower to watch Clint shoot turned out. It didn't take long for him to put the bow away. Then Phil was walking him to the door.
We have plenty of cake left. You could take some home with you.
I'd better not, Hawkeye said. Chances were it would cause all-out war with the rest of the Avengers over it. They're all bastards when it comes to sweets. And suddenly Phil wished he could get to know the team better. Not something that would be in the cards, but he could hope. Thank you so much again, he said, when they'd reached the door. Kate will be talking about this forever. He was glad there were pictures. Phil was going to put them in a special album for her because she'd love that sort of thing. It was my pleasure. Clint was smiling. She really is a great kid. Phil had to agree. After everything she'd been through, it was amazing just how far she'd come in just a few months they'd been a family. Then the conversation stalled a little, Clint looking a bit bashful. Look, he finally blurted, I'm just going to come out and ask. Would you be interested in having dinner with me? He fidgeted a little. Phil got the idea that this wasn't something that Hawkeye, the world's greatest marksman, usually did. Phil was absolutely charmed. He couldn't help himself. He also couldn't help the surprised and pleased smile, because he hadn't expected it and had been hoping this would happen. Of course, he answered. I'd love to. The grin that Clint gave him was blinding in its happiness. Great! And look, I know whatever happens between us, the cake comes first with you, and I'm perfectly fine with that. She's awesome. The tiny knot of worry of what dating would mean to Kate loosened in his chest. Thank you for understanding. You're a great dad. I'd never interfere with that. Phil found himself hoping that Clint would, one day, want to co-parent with him, although that was getting a little ahead of things. He still had no idea if they'd even work out. "Let me give you my number," Phil said. "Unless you already have it," he couldn't help but tease. After all, they'd had to run a background check on him when he'd shown up at the tower asking for an autograph for his daughter. He'd expected nothing less in the heart of Avengers territory. "It didn't go that far," Clint laughed. He pulled his phone from his pocket, unlocking it and handing it over. Phil put it in, added his name, and quickly texted his own phone so he'd have Clint's number too. Then he gave it back. "Call me and let me know. I'm sure I can talk Melinda and Andrew into babysitting, unless, of course, she goes into labor." "She looks like she's ready to pop," Clint agreed. "I was never more surprised when I saw the cavalry sitting there, looking like she'd swallowed a basketball." Phil, who knew just what that moniker meant to her, said, "She really hates being called that." Clint blinked. "Shit, I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me." He turned toward the door, then looked back. "One day you're going to have to tell me how you two met." "It's classified," Phil said dryly. The other man laughed. "I'm sure it is. All the best stories are." And with that, he was gone, the door closing behind him, leaving Phil to stand there grinning like a loon. He had a date with Clint. Melinda was going to give him all sorts of shit, and he was going to let her. 3 years later, Clint jumped up out of his seat and cheered as Katie Kate took first place in her very first archery competition. Phil was right beside him, cheering just as loudly, and the Avengers were doing the same in the row of bleachers right behind them. "That's our girl," he heard Tony shout. When he and Phil first started dating, Clint hadn't been all that sure that Katie being around the rest of the Avengers was going to be such a good idea. However, each and every one of them, and the members they'd gained since, had actually ended up being pretty decent aunts and uncles, toning down a lot of their antics around her and literally taking her under their collective wings. Not only was Melinda teaching Katie self-defense, so was Natasha. And Tony had already proclaimed that Katie had a scholarship to whatever college she chose to go to, much to Phil's chagrin. Bruce had been a boon with homework. Sam had taken it onto himself to be a sounding board whenever she needed it. And Steve had decided she needed to learn to draw. Wanda and Pietro had adopted her as a little sister. And Vision, well, Vision hadn't known what to do at first. But Katie had come to realize really early on that he was technically younger than she was, and it helped him assimilate into the world, especially where it came to cartoons. And Pepper, well, Pepper was her favorite. She'd even volunteered to babysit whenever Aunt Pepper and Uncle Tony decided it was time to add to the family. She was already doing that with Melinda and Andrew's little girl. Clint had, of course, gotten the surprise of his life when he'd found out that Phil and Nick Fury had served together, and that Fury had tried to get him to leave the Rangers and come to S.H.I.E.L.D. Clint was pretty damn glad that hadn't worked out. He had a family now, and he doubted it would have happened if Phil had become someone different than what he was now. All in all, life was damned good. Together, he and Phil headed down from the bleachers to hug their daughter and to give her their congratulations. Clint swore that one day she was going to be better than he was, which had prompted all sorts of discussions about the next generation of Avengers. Clint had been proud that they all seemed to think Katie would be the next Hawkeye, but at the same time, he was absolutely terrified at the notion of her getting into his line of work. It was dangerous, and he didn't want his daughter to get hurt. And Phil had felt the same, pacing one night and worrying about it, even though it would still be years before Katie would be ready for that sort of thing. Still, it would be up to Katie when the time came, and they would respect her decision. "Well done," Phil exclaimed, taking the first hug, adroitly avoiding getting hit in the back of the head with her bow. Clint beamed over his shoulder. "We are so proud of you, Katie Kate." She turned and gave Clint his hug. "I couldn't have done it without both of you." Well, he wasn't so sure of that, but Clint was a parent and liked to think he'd had at least a little something to do with her success. Phil's hand rested on Clint's hip, drawing them both close. Clint glanced down, a warm sensation flooding his chest, at the sight of the plain gold band that was there. They hadn't been married for long, only about 6 months, but the first thing they'd done after it was official was to add Clint's name to Katie's adoption papers. He'd been as much a father to her as Phil was, and now that was official.
"Let's get your medal," Tony said, breaking into the immediate family moment, "and then pizza's on me."
"Awesome!" Katie pulled away, giving him a bright smile. She went off toward the judges, who were waving all the participants over. Clint and Phil, arms around each other, and surrounded by the Avengers and family, followed along, wanting to see the medal ceremony. Clint couldn't help but wonder what would have happened if he hadn't agreed with Pepper's request that he meet a former Army Ranger and give him an autograph for his daughter. It certainly wouldn't have been here, standing in the sunshine and feeling about as proud as he possibly could, watching as a medal was draped around his daughter's neck. He'd found a family, and he hadn't even been looking for one. Clint couldn't be happier, and he knew Phil felt the same. The end.